Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Friday, and welcome to Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser. Each week, Brenda brings you interesting guests and timely topics to uplift and motivate you to be all that you can be today and for all your tomorrows. Join Brenda and Alive to Thrive every Friday at noon Central Time, right here on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, here's Brenda Fraser.
Hello and welcome to Alive to Thrive. My name is Brenda Fraser. We have a guest host today, Reverend Pat Powers, and she's calling in to be our guest host today as I am unfortunately going to be unavailable for the next hour or so. So Reverend Pat is a dynamic speaker. She has spoken on stages all across the United States. She has hosted this program before for me, so I appreciate her calling in. And the guest today is from Missouri Ballet Theater, which was founded in 2009. And we have, I think, Artistic Director Adam Sage with us. Is that correct, Adam?
No, actually, you have Melissa Fork. I'm on the Board of Directors with Missouri Ballet Theater, Brenda.
Fantastic, Melissa. Hello and welcome to the program. Learning more about the theater and about the performances of Breaking Boundaries that are performing tonight and tomorrow night at the Florissant Civic Center Theater in Florissant, Missouri. And tickets are still available at florissantmo.com or calling 314-921-5678. Get your tickets today for either tonight or tomorrow night. And I want to welcome Reverend Pat Powers to Alive to Thrive, and thank you so much, Pat, for I'm going to pass the torch off to you, and thank you for filling in for me today.
Let's make sure that everyone can hear me, Brenda.
Yes, we can hear you perfectly, and we have
awesome.
Melissa Fork from the Board of Directors, who is also with the St. Charles Riverfront Arts, and we got to meet a couple of weeks ago, and I'm looking forward to getting involved with St. Charles Riverfront Arts. It's just a fantastic organization, and probably she could tell you more about it. So take it away, Pat.
Awesome.
Well, my name is Reverend Pat Powers, and I welcome everybody today to Alive to Thrive. We are so excited to have on the Missouri Ballet Company and many of the people that are involved with it, specifically, Melissa, you as the board president of the Missouri Ballet and a part of St. Charles Riverfront Arts. Tell us just a little bit about you and what you do.
Well, I first started sitting on the board of Missouri Ballet Theater. I've been on the board for 5 years now, and it doesn't look like I'm going to get off of that anytime soon. It's my great passion, and it is a volunteer position, but it has sort of become a very large part of my life. I've got involved with St. Charles Riverfront Arts just 2 years ago. This is actually going into my second year. They're a wonderful arts organization that does free events for our community, artist workshops, Second Thursdays, the Art Walk. And it sort of has kind of been a joint effort between us because the ballet needs support from the arts community, and the arts community needs to know what's going on with the ballet. And we need to be involved with our community and work together.
Okay. Well, I understand that and works well. And what it does when you get out into that greater community is it just spreads the love for dance. Now, I know Missouri Ballet is not only ballet. Am I correct?
Well, we do a couple tutu ballets, as we kind of slang word refer to them. We do a couple of those a year. We always have the Nutcracker around the holiday time. And then we might do, you know, a Swan Lake or a Cinderella or a Midsummer Night's Dream. But then we also try to do a couple contemporary mix reps in there. For 2 years now, we've done Dracula, which is a love story. We've done that in the fall around Halloween time. And then we have this contemporary rep, and then we'll have another contemporary rep the first part of March. So we like to show the diversity of our dancers, actually.
Well, and that is really awesome. I raised a dancer, so I had a little ballerina from age 3 to about age 16. And my little ballerina, you know, did the whole thing. She said, finally, she came to the place where she said, if I'm going to do ballet, Mom, that's all I can do. Because I have to dance all the time to keep my knees and legs strong. So do you find that you still dance?
It is just a huge commitment for these dancers. I actually am the mother as well of two professional dancers. I have a 25-year-old son who left home to study at School of American Ballet in New York City at 17. And then my daughter, he dances currently for Birmingham Ballet, Alabama Ballet. And then my daughter is with Missouri Ballet Theater. So I know what it's like to raise a dancer. And then even though the 19 dancers that we have are all adults, you know, they range from ages 19 to 30, I still kind of am the mom. I'm the mom here. I'm the mom for them, you know, when things are not going well and they reach out to me. And I love that part about it. You know, that's a huge thing for me.
Well, when you have the connection and you understand their issue, because dancers kind of tend to run in the same circle of issues, and they don't have enough time, they have pain, they need to put everything together, they're not getting enough sleep, their nutrition is compromised because they're working so hard, and yet they need so much.
And you have hit the nail on the head. And all 19 of these dancers, except for two, my daughter is a St. Louis native, and we have another dancer, Kenzie Martin, who is a St. Louis native. The other dancers come from all over this country. We have girls from Pennsylvania and Boston and Texas and Florida and New Jersey and Colorado. And they come here, audition, and move here to dance for this company. So, you know, like I said, you know, you may be 25 years old, but you're still away from your family, you're still away from your parents, and, you know, you're facing life. And all of the things that you just touched on, Reverend Pat, is, you know, money is tight, money is more than tight. They're working 2 and 3 jobs to get by, and then dedicating, you know, from the hours of 9 o'clock in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon to this dance. So, you know, you have to have a great passion for it, and you have to have a lot of respect for their discipline, a lot of respect for their discipline.
And they are so fantastically beautiful. No matter what their physical attributes, when they stand up to dance and their dance posture takes over and their facial expression becomes the artistry, I don't know what's more beautiful.
It just really, you're so right again. It just really is beautiful. And this rep that we're doing now is so exciting. Our mantra for the ballet company is innovation, diversity, and collaboration. And this is really a big collaborative effort for us this weekend. We have three choreographers. We have Dante McDonald, who came in from New York City to choreograph a piece. He's a black choreographer that actually trained as a student with Adam Sage and Robert Flander and has come back as an adult and set this piece on our company. It's called Fantissimo Classique. And then we have Robert Poe, who danced with us for a couple seasons, and now he dances for the Big Muddy Company, which is a contemporary company in St. Louis, which is also lovely. And he has choreographed Loose. And then we have Robert Flander, who has choreographed Sunday Sunday, which we're doing with the Princely Players, who you heard at the lead-in of the show. So
right.
It's a big collaborative effort for us, sort of celebrating, like, the beginning of Black History Month. It's three black choreographers, and the Princely Players are a black gospel group that formed in the 60s, and it's so exciting.
Awesome. Well, I know that there is a deeper reason why our St. Charles Ballet Company is going to be performing in the Florissant Civic Center. I know that place, and it is a fantastic venue for ballet. It's a beautiful stage. It's a big enough stage. It has a lot of things that are for it. But is there any other reason why you have chosen to be in North County?
Well, kind of, yes. I mean, it didn't really start out that way because we had actually booked the theater last July, and that, of course, was before everything happened the way it happened. So that could have been a divine intervention there, because this was well before, you know, anything had happened. And I just feel like it's a good place to spread some good karma. I think everybody in St. Louis and St. Charles County needs to come together and reflect and remember and celebrate and have a lot of hope that we can move forward. And our country is a great country, and we hit bumps in the road. And they're tough bumps, and we need to figure it out. But I just have faith. We all have faith that we will figure it out.
Well, and I think the title of this particular piece is pretty moving in and of itself.
Yes,
fact that it's breaking
it
boundaries. So can you tell us a little about the program itself then?
Well, like I said, we have it's really a cool evening of dance, because Fantissimo Classique is it's a tutu ballet. I mean, we have the pancake tutus with the beautiful sparkles in the hair and the point shoes, and it's a classical ballet piece. So we start out the evening with that, and then we merge into Loose, which is set to Frank Sinatra. There's some Nat King Cole, and it's a very swing, contemporary, fun, kind of 40s feel, 50s feel. And so that shows, there again, our diversity, going from, you know, point shoes to character shoes, going from total classical ballet into this, like, jazz swing, which is great. And then we have intermission, and then that's when Robert Flander's piece, Sunday Sunday, comes on, which is very modern, very contemporary, and that's all to the music of the Princely Players. It's all gospel music. You're going to hear some Amazing Grace. You're going to hear some Glory, Glory. You're going to hear some Many Rains Ago. It's in a little old-time religion. They also wrote a few musical pieces specifically for this ballet. And one thing that's very pertinent right now is there's a movement called Birmingham Sunday. And it's about the bombing in the church in Birmingham that killed the four little girls, which is in the opening scene of the movie Selma, which is out right now. And it talks about the death of those four little girls. So it's a very deep, spiritual, uplifting gospel number. So you're talking about an evening that covers the gamut. We go from pointe shoes to character shoes to bare feet, modern. And it's just, if you don't know anything about ballet or have not experienced ballet, something like tonight is what you want to go see, because ballet sometimes is a scary thing to people, and this whole night is ballet, but you will love it, and it shows the different aspects of ballet.
Well, I think one of the reasons we're intimidated by ballet is there are no words in the program, you know, to the story, and yet the dance is the story. So,
and yet the dance
music
is the story, yes. You know, and you can feel this music, you know, which everybody knows Nat King Cole, you know. And so you don't really need a story, you know. It's the story is in those words, and there's words to the music, and the dancers sort of tell those words. The classical piece, there are no words, obviously, but you just sort of don't even really need to have a story. It's just a feeling. It's beautiful, beautiful girls and beautiful, beautiful tutus. So that's that story. And then Sunday has, you know, all the gospel words, and that story is all laid out in front of you.
Well, when you hear gospel music that is sung not only by a powerhouse of choir that travels with around the country to sing, they also bring the heart and soul of the Black movement and what they went through in the civil rights movement into today's history. And we do have Ferguson right there in North County.
Ferguson. Yes.
That in and of itself, our president used it in his State of the Union address. We refer to it as a common problem. That name now says, oh, this is Ferguson. This means police brutality. This means racial profiling. This means all of those things. And so we're bringing it right to the forefront with spiritual music, with gospel music, with Black spiritual music, with a Black choir right in the heart of North County.
Yes, and these singers, they're based out of Nashville. They drove in, God love them, they were up at 2 in the morning yesterday to start driving by 3 in the morning to get here yesterday, and we're still at dress rehearsal at 9:30 last night. So, but they, started in 1964, I believe is the date, and, you know, these were young Black people in the South in 1964. And so, the stories that they have to tell, there are four original members of that group that are performing here. And then there are some new ones. You know, some people have dropped out, obviously, through the years. And they have stories to tell. And yesterday at dinner, we were sitting talking, and they want to go see Ferguson. I'm going to take them to Ferguson tomorrow, and I believe we're going to grab a burger at the Florissant Burger Bar, and we're going to drive through. They want to see it, you know. They've seen a lot in their lifetimes, and they know that this is a big part of history, and they want to see it, and they want to perform in that area. And we want to bring their music to life, and I think we've done it very well. Robert Flanders' choreography is just amazing. I mean, there were a few people who attended dress rehearsal last night, and there were a lot of tears. You know, some of pain and some of joy.
And isn't that interesting when both music and artistry together can create that depth of emotion, even in practice?
Yes. Yes.
It's fascinating.
It's very exciting. And I encourage people really to come out. You know, we have a hard time in the ballet world selling ballets. You know, ticket sales are great for the Nutcracker because people come. Yeah,
with the
people
Missouri
come. Yeah, well, there you go. You know, it's like people don't even really
I loved the Logan stage this year.
Yes, yes. We were actually at Edison, so theater. But we, you know, Nutcracker. never sells. And that's, you know, people just come and that's great. But then a lot of times, you know, we put on a ballet and people shy away and they don't come. And we really need people to come out. We really need to sell some tickets and spread this passion, this love, this joy, this goodwill.
So is everything out on a website, on a Facebook page? Where can we share?
Oh, gosh, Reverend Pat, yes. We have got a website. It's www.Missouri Ballet Theater, and theater is with a T-R-E.org. We have a Facebook page.
And is it Missouri spelled out or M-O?
It's Missouri spelled out, MissouriBalletTheater.org. That's our website. We also have a Facebook page, which I have a ton of information with pictures on Facebook. You can call the Florissant Civic Center. That's actually where you buy the tickets, is through Florissant Civic Center. Brenda mentioned the web info at the beginning. Or you can just show up tonight at the box office. I mean, if all else fails, just come. The show is at 7:30. We have plenty of tickets. You can just walk up and buy your tickets. I do encourage you to look at the bios of the dancers, which are all on our website, and learn more about the lives of these dancers. And then on Facebook, we try to feature them and tell you more than just their bios. You know, where are you from? Where did you grow up? You know, what has your journey in life been? So I encourage you to go to both our website and our Facebook page and learn more about us. I did post this morning another song from the Princely Players, and I think I've played it 100 times on my cell phone as I'm cooking soup to take it to the theater to feed the dancers in a little while. It just gives me just such joy. I don't know what else to say. It just gives me such joy. So go to the Facebook page and listen to that song.
Awesome. I appreciate that, because that will also inspire people to come on out. You know, this is,
yes,
it's cold. All we're going to do is stay home anyway. Let's get out and get to the ballet. Do something,
yes,
fantastic. Bring your children. Is that one of the things you would encourage?
Oh, my gosh, yes. You know, little girls, little boys, everybody always thinks bring little girls to the ballet. Well, I mean, boys like it too. You know, I have
a... I've lost you, Melissa. Well, I'm not hearing Melissa respond, and maybe you'll get her back. Is that you, Melissa?
Yes, it is.
Okay,
I'm trying
good.
To move where you can hear me. Oh, okay. Yeah, bring, you know, little girls love the ballet, but boys love the ballet too, you know, and this is a great teaching moment. You know, we're going into Black History Month, and you know, children need to learn about our history, and this is really a history lesson. It really is a history lesson. So come on out. I wish I could have gotten more interesting people on the phone today. It's just me because, you know, we're in that crunch of you know, adjusting lights and sound checks and costume checks. And so I'm, it's just boring me, but if you come to the theater, you know, you might get an opportunity to talk to some of the dancers and see this incredible show, Pat.
Well, you know that I'm going to be there, and I'm bringing a 10-year-old granddaughter, and I'm just so excited to be able to take her, because we have done, as you call them, the tutu ballets. That's,
yes,
what we've done. We've done Nutcracker. We've made it, because my daughter is a dancer, we've made that part of our family tradition that we go every year, the girls. And this year we brought the 4-year-old grandson because he wanted to go to the Nutcracker too.
Thank you.
So,
thank you, Pat, for
welcome.
That. We need to bring those boys to the ballet. We really do.
So he did. Yeah. We did bring him. He loved it. He was very good and well-behaved. And it was fantastic for him to get to experience it. And he's 4 years old and was able to hang on and watch the whole thing and be intrigued and follow the storyline, even though there are no words to the story. It was awesome.
Yes. And, you know, this is a, you know, this is a short evening of ballet. You know, we're not talking, you know, 2.5 hours worth of ballet. It's a short evening of ballet. And I think parents need to give kids more credit. I think that they will sit through it more than you think they will, you know, and they will get out of it more than you think they will. And the music is fascinating and the movement is fascinating, and they will be transfixed. So, you know, yeah, bring your children. I think it's important. Like I said, you know, make it a teaching moment. You know, make it a spiritual teaching moment. Make it a history teaching moment. It's just,
and make it an inspiration for their life when they
absolutely
see that they can actually be grown ups and dancing
yes
ballet, not necessarily children underneath the skirt of the lady in the Nutcracker. So we
right
want them all to
exactly
know that they can be the Snow Queen.
Yes,
they
exactly
can be the prince. They
yes
can do those
absolutely
things.
And, you know, and like I said, all of our dancers are adults. You know, this is their life. This is what they're dedicated. This is their passion. And if it takes, you know, working till 3 o'clock as a ballet dancer and then waiting tables till midnight, or teaching, a lot of our dancers teach in a lot of dance schools across St. Charles County and St. Louis. And so, you know, we have dancers that are teaching. These dancers are teaching your children. You know, there's probably a good 10 out of the 19 that all teach at studios. So, you know, come see Miss Rachel dance. Come see Miss Lydia dance. You know, the parents need to see what these teachers are capable of themselves and what kind of education they're able to give your children, you know. A lot of them are teachers, and they're touching a lot of young people's lives, teaching them, I mean, not only great dance education, but how to be a good person. These dancers are just incredible human beings.
It was the discipline that I found the most interesting aspect of having a ballet dancer at 3 years old, who learned at 3 years old what it means to sit in a row and be quiet, to wait your
mm-hmm
turn, to stand up, to answer when you're asked something, but not to speak out of turn. She learned so much about being a committed, dedicated person and doing it following certain rules, and I don't even want to call them rules, but it's a way of being that she learned as a dancer that still impacts her life today.
Yes, dancers are very, you know, there's been a lot of studies written and on dancers and the fact that children who are dancers get much higher grades. They're able to learn how to juggle time management because they have to, you know, and they also, you know, there's things like reverence. At the end of a ballet class, the dancers go to the teacher and bow as a sign of respect, you know. It's like, you know, thank you. And a lot of the teachers to these children are almost like a parent figure. You know, your child's, if they're taking it seriously, your child is with that dance teacher almost as much as they are with you, you know. And so it's great to have great role models for our children. And the dancers at Missouri Ballet Theater are great role models, and I'm so proud of them. They work really hard to help give back to the community, not only through their teaching, but, you know, their work. They didn't, you know, they don't make a lot of money. And this year they adopted 2 families within our St. Charles County community and gave them Christmases that they would not have had, you know. And it just really touched me. Or, you know,
well, we
they'll
know
go to hospital visits. You know, we do a lot of hospital visits, and that's a moving, moving thing.
Awesome. Well, Melissa, you have shared so much about this dance and about the program and about the why for the dancers. But let's talk just a little bit, if we could, about Adam, who is the founder and artistic director. Am I correct, of Missouri Ballet Theater?
Yes, ma'am. He is. Yes.
So tell me about Adam. He seems to be, from his bio, absolutely so well-traveled, so well-educated, and so experienced. So please share a little of that.
Yes, Adam, I met Adam, he had come to St. Louis because he thought that St. Louis was centrally located within our country, basically. And so if he started a company here, we would be able to, you know, tour and travel. And so he just sort of randomly kind of wound up in St. Louis. He, of course, started his life as a dancer himself, you know, started dancing in the Nutcracker as a child. You know, back at like 7 or 8 years old. Originally, he's from San Diego and trained there and then got the opportunity to travel the world. At a very, very young age, he went to the Philippines and danced. He's been to South Africa and danced. He danced in Utah for Ballet West. There again, you can go to our website and read his bio. So, you know, then your body gives out, and then you have to say, okay, you know, what is next for me? So he traveled the country, traveled the world as a dancer, and then he began his teaching career. And he taught in Virginia for Virginia School of the Arts. He taught in Nashville for Nashville Ballet for a long, long time. And Adam is an incredible man. Artistic directors can be harsh and
And flighty
and a little scary and very creative. And yeah, I mean, you know, he fits the creative bill to a T. He and I sometimes come to fisticuffs over, you know, timelines and things. But he is truly the kindest artistic director that I have ever come in contact with. And he knows how hard the dancers work for such little pay, and he's really a teacher. And so a lot of his teaching comes through as an artistic director in the respect that he wants his dancers to get better, and he just likes to grow a dancer, which is incredible. He's extremely gifted as a choreographer and does more classical ballet choreography. And then Robert Philander, who is our ballet master, also who choreographs Sunday, he is more of the contemporary ballet brain of the team. And Robert is from...
Before we leave Adam, I just have to say the most interesting thing I found out about him, and you'll laugh, I'm sure, is that he danced for the president of the Philippines at the time, Ferdinand Marcos, and the famous or infamous shoe lady, Imelda Marcos.
Imelda Marcos, he did. He absolutely did. And he, those years in, you know, isn't that great? Yeah, and his years in the Philippines, he really cherished those years in the Philippines.
Well, it's a different experience and a part of Asia that is very American and yet not. So it is a very, very interesting, odd crossroads for people. But to imagine that the after he did that beautiful dance for them, I'm sure he had no idea it was going to end like it did for them.
Yes, I know. You know, that's I wish I had a crystal ball, you know, moment. But, you know, I'm pretty sure when he lived in the Philippines that he told me he actually lived in the theater. So he's had a very interesting life, and people need to know what a treasure it is that we have in him here in St. Louis.
But if I grew up in San Diego, I would not be living in St. Louis in my middle years. I love St. Louis. It's my home, but I can't leave because I was born here.
You know, yeah.
I kind of have the family roots are planted here, and I wish my roots had been planted in San Diego. I'd be on the coast.
You know, I think you sort of just, the ballet world kind of becomes your family. And, you know, it's remarkable to me, you know, he has dancers that he's worked with, dancers that he's trained all across the country. And, you know, with the social media and things now, it's so much easier to keep a track of everybody. And, you know, he keeps in touch with everybody, but you sort of kind of have that gypsy, like, travel, let's kind of see where we end up kind of mentality, you know, and this is where he wound up, and I'm grateful. I'm so grateful. I'm glad the weather in San Diego didn't make us lose him.
Well, now let's speak a little bit about the master, the ballet master and the resident choreographer that you have in Robert Philander Valentine. I don't know why he doesn't go by that last name.
I know. Isn't that incredible?
You
Robert
is
him
as Mr. Philander instead of Mr. Valentine. That is such a, quote, sweet name.
Yeah, and I guess I've never really asked him about that, and I probably should, or maybe he told me and I don't remember, but he really goes by Robert Philander, but I guess his name is Robert Philander Valentine. So, but we usually, to us, he's just fondly Robert. He's from South Africa, has this incredible accent, and his voice is so low. And he'll say, "Good morning, Miss Fork." You know, it's just this incredible voice. He needs to be doing voiceovers is what he needs to be doing. And so, but he's a little hard to understand sometimes. And his voice is just so deep. It's just great. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, that's very clear.
Okay. Okay, so anyway, Robert was born and raised in South Africa and then also has danced all over the country, all over you know, all over the world. So, and like I said, he's kind of more modern. He likes more of the modern dance aspect. So having Adam as the artistic director and Robert is the ballet master is an incredible team. Because there again, you get that diversity that I was talking about.
So it looks like that he has done a little bit of everything when I look at the places he's been, including, of course, South Africa, which was his home. The Memphis Ballet, that's awesome. But Hong Kong Ballet, once again, we have someone going global.
Yes, he was with Hong Kong Ballet. And I'm not exactly sure if he and Adam were in the Philippines together, but, you know, I know that he did travel a lot, you know, and then wound up here. So
now, I know he also worked for the Springfield Ballet Company, so we got him close to us and then brought him on here.
Awesome. Yes,
awesome.
And
he
was involved with Nashville Ballet. He told me last night that he was actually the at Vanderbilt College. He was in head of the dance department at Vanderbilt for a while. So, you know, these guys have incredible lives.
Awesome. Well, the other thing that fascinates me about Mr. Valentine, which is such a great name, about Robert is that in addition to being a dancer and choreography and traveling around the world and helping write and design programs that bring the modern into the old and all of that, he's a massage therapist.
He is. He works at Massage Envy, actually, and he has worked for a chiropractor, Dr. Perez, who is a great doctor who helps our dancers. She's very generous with her time to help our dancers. And I've actually had a massage by Robert Philander, and it is pretty incredible, I must say. So he's very good at what he does, and he's very good with the dancers because he knows, you know, from being a dancer himself, you know, what is hurting and how do you alleviate pain, which is great for them.
Right.
A big asset.
Well, and there's something tremendous about being able to let the stress of the dance go by relaxing after. And what a better way than to have a Swedish or a sports massage to let you move into coming. I mean, I know as a minister I'm on stage, and that means I'm on. And that means that when I get ready to go on, I'm on before I'm on. And then I'm on. And then I'm still on while I'm after I'm on. Because
there's something
in the energy of being on and being the performer, that you also need to come down a little bit, which is why they stay up till 3 in the morning and drink coffee.
Well, exactly. You know, it's mind and body, you know. And, you know, they get done with the performance at 10 o'clock at night, and, you know, they're not down, you know, till the sun comes up. Because, you know, I mean, you just can't, you know. And so it's learning to let go and come down. Like you said, you know, you're on from the time you begin to prepare, you know. They've been at the theater today since 10 o'clock this morning. And I know I got home at 11 o'clock last night. And I know I beat them all home because I left before they did. So,
well,
you know,
if you didn't
this
beat
is
them home,
a lot.
You probably beat them to bed. Because they would continue to stay up and talk.
Exactly. You know, so, you know, it's the tension, you know, it's a lot of mind and body and spirit that goes into this craft. It's really a craft. It's an art. It's a craft.
So how have they blended the dancers with the musicians, with those incredible singers from, I want to be sure that I get their names said out loud so that anybody that could find the Princely Players, and you can find some of their stuff on YouTube, if I understand right.
Yeah, they don't have a lot, but they do have a couple songs. You can find them on YouTube. And the Princely Players are on stools. They sing a cappella, which is big trend now. There's been so many, you know, things about a cappella choral groups with, you know, the Pitch Perfect movie and the TV show, the a cappella groups. And so it's all a cappella, and they are on the side of the stage. They sit on stools. And Odessa, who is the leader, she, you know, kind of motions, you know, when people need to come in, and it's just all a cappella, and they're on the side of the stage, and the dancers are on the stage, so they can see each other, which helps them, you know, stay together, which is nice. But, you know, it was interesting, we've been practicing with taped music, you know, and so then when they came in last night and sang it live, you know, there were a few bugs, so that's what everybody's doing right now, is trying to get those bugs out. You know, tempo has to be right, and they can't change anything. They need to do it exactly the way we practiced it, really. You know, so
no improvisation on the stage with it.
Right, exactly. You know, because you can it is. You know, you can improv maybe as a choral group, but you have to know you've got, you know, 19 people behind you trying to, you know, keep up. So it is kind of a cool process to watch. I was there last night watching, you know, the great, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and all of it. And but you know, it was incredible. So I know by 7:30 tonight we'll be ready to roll.
Awesome. So we have a program tonight. Do we have a matinee on Saturday?
No, we're just doing two shows. We're doing 7:30 tonight and 7:30 tomorrow night, and that's it. So you need to catch us then.
All right. Well, I thought I'd ask that question because many times when we deal with the ballet, we do have those matinees to choose from. So I wanted to be sure and let the people that might be on the show know that that's something that these are evening performances, and they will be dynamic performances, and I am very excited to know that I'm going to be there. So it's coming up tonight and tomorrow night. We have these great choreographers. We have the incredible dancers. We have the music that's come in from out of town. We have a fantastic location. We have a program called Breaking Boundaries. This is where we really bring new ideas into this community in Florissant that's been through so much. Florissant, Ferguson, kind of are a splash in our Midwest area. Ferguson standing alone as the source and kind of the identifier for racial tension and stress in this time frame of our lives. And so we want to be sure and include Ferguson in that invitation to please come out. Do what you can to be a part of this, to show your family that there are people outside of our local community that are still supporting us in their own ways, with their creative endeavors, with their performances, and with a mission to change the way we deal with stresses and racial tension, even through the arts.
Yes, I agree. And I hope you do come out, and I really appreciate you giving me this opportunity to speak. And we just want to spread the good vibe and spread the love, and have a couple great evenings of art and dance. And we're very excited.
Well, would you like to spend a few minutes to talk a little bit about the St. Charles Riverfront and some of the free events that you support through the Riverfront activities?
I would. You know, we also have a website for that organization, Missouri Riverfront Arts.org. We have an event called Second Thursdays, which will start in May. It will be at the Foundry Arts Center. And those evenings, it's just a family fun night, all there again, free. There's different artists set up in stations where you might have a painter, you might have a potter, you might have a sketch artist, The dance company is always there. We're there every second Thursday. And you'd go from station to station, and you get to participate and learn how to do these different arts and meet an artist, meet a dancer, meet a painter. We've had filmmaking there before. We're right now working on setting up, who's going to be there every month. It's an incredible, incredible event. And then we have artist workshops where, and I'm not exactly sure on those dates. You need to check the Facebook page and the website, but you get to learn. And we were discussing at the last meeting how people show up on a whim and say, I've always wanted to learn to draw and just never allowed myself because I didn't think I could. And so I never tried. And then
they can't win. They're afraid to even pick up a brush. My mother those people. She watched the guy on TV who did all of the paintings every Saturday morning of his brush. You could hear it.
My
mother watched him and never bought an art canvas or a paintbrush. But she
isn't that incredible?
Intently.
Yeah.
So I get the experiencing of the art may allow us to really decide we can dip our brush.
Well, and a lot of times I think maybe budget stops a person. If you think, I'm not really going to be good at this. Do I want to sign up for lessons and pay for it, kind of thing? It's like something maybe you want to try. Something maybe it's a hidden passion that sparks you to say, I'm going to go to this workshop. And the fact that it's free and you get to go and walk out with something, then you can see that, you really can do this, So that's been an incredible program. And then we have an art walk, which is a three-day weekend, a Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday, where, it's like a art festival. And we feature artists, and you can buy the art there and then also and see what it is they do. So we have art walk in the summer. I think we're kind of moving into spring this year, so check the dates again.
Well, my experience of the art walk was fantastic because you had art in many of the shops right along the walking path of Main Street in St. Charles. And so
do the shopping too. Yeah. I know, and we are we're consolidating it into one area. Last year we had it at the Foundry. I'm not exactly sure what is on tap for this year, but also having it centrally located, but in St. Charles was, a cool thing too, because we had more space that we can control. So, and then last year we started the St. Charles Riverfront Arts Dance Festival, and that was in September, and dancers from all across the St. Louis, St. Charles area came together in Newtown at the amphitheater, and we had a dance festival, which we're going to do again. I know, it was incredible. And
weather supported it, being outdoors?
It did. It really did. And we do have an alternative rain date, so if it would be ugly weather, we've got a plan B. But it was incredible having all of these different dancers all come together. And I know it's going to be bigger and better this year. So St. Charles Riverfront Arts has got so much to offer. And really what we're trying to do this year as well is, put different people together, like the ballet company got involved with St. Charles Riverfront Arts so we could all, kind of take our balls and get in the ball pit together. I mean, what you want to do as an artist is find people that are like-minded like you. And so, like I said, we got involved with Second Thursday, so we're always there, and you get the opportunity to dance with a dancer. So we've got a lot of other arts organizations all coming together and kind of having St. Charles Riverfront Arts be the hub for that, the hub for learning about an arts community. At the last meeting we had some artists from Augusta come up and talk about what the excitement that they have going on in Augusta and their arts community. So it's exciting. It's an exciting organization.
So Pat,
did I lose you,
Pat? Today. There we go. I'm back again. I am so thrilled that we've had this time to talk about some of these things. I had no idea all of this was going on in St. Charles. I had no idea that the Riverfront, Missouri Riverfront Arts community has expanded and grown so much in just the last few years.
Yes, it is incredible. And I want to make sure I give you that. Well, I'm on the board. You know, it's a volunteer position again. I think my husband would like it if I, you know, make some money occasionally. I spend my life volunteering, but, you know, that's just where my heart is and where my passion is, and I'm very lucky that he's afforded me the opportunity to do that. So I sit on the board of St. Charles Riverfront Arts, which is riverfrontarts.org. I want to make sure I get that straight. So I sit on the board of directors for them and help get all of these things organized and get them implemented and get them in place. And then I also sit on the board with the Missouri Ballet Theater. And then, like I said, I'm just kind of mom. They actually call me Mama Fork, the dancers. You know, not that I'm replacing their mothers or not that they need me to be their mothers, they're adults, but you know, it's just, I'm here for them. So I wear both of these hats. Yeah, yes, you know, and I give a lot of hugs, and that to me is worth more than a paycheck. So my passion with the Riverfront Arts, my passion with the ballet then just kind of automatically rolled over into this other group, the St. Charles Riverfront Arts. So it's been an incredible journey for me, and I've met a lot of really incredible people who've been very supportive of me.
I've lost you again. I'm here. Let's see if we can get Melissa back on.
I'm having trouble with my cell phone. I'm trying to move. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, okay. I can hear you again, yes.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Oh, no, it happened. It happens. That's what happens when we do anything live. There can be these things show up. So you
yes.
can't do all of this by yourself. And that's what we also know. So are you
right.
looking for other volunteers, committee members,
always.
People who are interested
always.
In the art?
Yes,
so we can
always.
Make that appeal to anybody that's listening that is interested in giving some of their time in finding
yes.
out a way to be right on top of what's happening in St. Charles.
Yes. You know, we always are looking for volunteers. And if you, you know, message us, you know, either at St. Charles Riverfront Arts, you know, on our Facebook page, send us a message. Or if you send us a message on Missouri Ballet Theater Facebook page, we are always looking for help. You know, and I think a lot of times people, you know, think, oh, well, what can I do? Trust me, we can find a job that fits your time schedule, that fits your passion. We can find a job for you. And something that may seem very small and not a big deal is a big deal, because all together we can do greater. And so
I know
if
that you can't fold the programs by yourself.
No,
so
you cannot.
Somebody that folds the program. Somebody that's
absolutely.
Usher, somebody that
and
takes
if it's.
Tickets.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely. And even if it's making, you know, peanut butter sandwiches for dancers, you know, I mean, it's like there's so many little jobs and we just all need help. So if you feel like you want to give us some time with either organization, we would love to hear from you. And then, you know, come on out. I mean, the main thing too is volunteering is great, but, you know, come on out so we can meet you face to face. I can't wait to meet you Saturday night, Pat. You know, I want to put a face, you know, with the voice, you know.
Absolutely.
So come out and meet us, you know.
Well, you'll be able to pick me out, I'm quite sure, because I'm usually the shyest one in the group. No, I'm not. so I'll step right up and say, I am looking for Melissa. Where is she? So
yeah,
awesome.
I have that problem, too. I'm not very shy, and I usually stand out, so we won't miss each other. So
absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your time on the program today. This has been an awesome presentation. I'm excited about attending, and I'm going to go ahead and call it what it is, which is Breaking Boundaries at 7:30 tonight or tomorrow night. Only two opportunities to see this incredible show. It is being produced and choreographed by Mr. Robert Philander, and the artistic director is Adam Sage. He's somebody in St. Louis that we can be really proud of. I think we want to include in our appreciation the princely players who have come up from Memphis to be a part of this. It is just incredible. 8-person a cappella gospel choir. I'd go to the show just to see them. So I am excited about it at the Florissant Civic Center, and we have so many contacts for you. We want to be sure that you plug in to the Riverfront Missouri Riverfront Arts Community. We want to be sure you plug into the dance community at the Missouri Ballet Company. So thank you so much, Melissa, for allowing me to interview you and to get a lot of great information today about innovation and about inspiration. So thank you for sharing, Melissa. We've had a great time. And we'll just say this is the end of this program. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.